WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is, it's here again. It's Preakness week. The race is still at Pimlico. The race is still called the Preakness. We apparently, not like spend the buck, still have the Derby winner here. It will not be a swell Preakness Dick Girardi, but I hope it will be a swell one. I'm wearing my Costas Inn shirt. They love horse racing over there. I was walking into Costas Dick Girardi on Sunday at about 1:15. I had been offline all morning working on my crab cake tour. That I'm going to get your suggestion as a true Baltimorean, stuck in Philadelphia eating crab cake or eating cheesesteaks with and without. I walk in and, you know, the founder of Costas, as Ted Venatoulis would say, greets me. And I don't know how old he is, but he's got to be 80 or in his 80s. He loves horse racing. We talk horse racing whenever we're together. And the boys aren't there. Nick and Pete aren't there. He said to me, "Do you hear about Baffert?" He's Greek. "Do you hear about Baffert?" I'm like,
"Yes."
"Something happened to Bob? I know he had some health issues." He's like, "He's a horse. He's a horse. He's dirty. He's no good." And I said, I'm reaching for my phone. Dick, I'm like grabbing my – I'm literally in Costas with my mask on with Stan Jablonski waiting to eat crabs. Orioles game's in the second inning. And I look down and I'm like,
"What?
What the hell happened?" Because Bob was on the show with me last week. I text Bob after he wins. Bob says, "Let's do this week. I'll give you more time. I'll be in Santa Anita. I'll be cool. It'll be calm. When I get to Baltimore, it's crazy. It'll just be better for you. Then you'll have it to run longer." I'm like, "Thanks, Bob." So Bob and I do 25 minutes about Silver Charm and Silver Bullet Day and, you know, all of that, right? He's got American Pharoah here and Rose is here and the surprise of winning and this incredible horse and it's Medina, not Medina, and Funky Cole. And I ran it for 2 days and now it's Sunday. I'm like, well, the first thing I need to do is pull that off the air. So Dick Girardi, you have been my friend. I think we went through this since 1984 in Sports First. It always a little weird, right? It's weird, this horse racing thing, right?
It is, and this is the classic case of weirdness and keeps getting weirder, right? It starts to leak out Saturday night that Medina Spirit has a positive test post-Derby. Now, what does that mean? It's unclear at that point.
Why does it take a week, by the way?
Great question. Nobody's been able to answer it.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I love answering the rhetorical questions.
Right, and the next test is going to take several weeks, and then there's a hearing. And anyway, so that Sunday morning, Baffert and his attorney, Craig Robertson, decide to get out in front of it because obviously the rumors are all over the place. So he has a press conference. And he says, "Yes, in fact, we've been notified by the Kentucky stewards here at Churchill Downs that the horse has tested positive for a substance called betamethasone, which is..."
Say that again so I can learn how to say it because I'm going to need to say it. Betamethasone?
You got it. Yeah,
betamethasone. I was going to call it betamethasone.
You got it. Okay, yeah. So what this is an anti-inflammatory. It's typically injected into a horse's joint basically to relieve inflammation.
Cortisone for horses.
I think that's a fair. That's close. It's a corticosteroid.
I've had a cortisone shot in my knee before they cut
it. Right. So you get it. The concern is as it gets closer to race day, and it's not in Kentucky, it's not legal to have any of this in your system. In Maryland, there is an allowable trace level, but you have to be under that. The concern is, Nestor, with this particular drug, closer to the race, that horses won't maybe feel pain that they should be feeling. So it would, when a vet looks at a horse, maybe he's walking better than he should be. So the concern is for the safety of the horse. So you don't want to have this more than, say, less than 2 weeks prior to a race. And that's typically how long it takes to clear out of a horse's system. It would not by any means be termed a performance enhancer. But unfortunately, because that's what we deal with in society these days, most people just see positive drug tests for Derby winner. But what happened, it just gets so bizarre because Baffert says, "Hey, look, we never gave this to the horse," right? That's where the twist came in. "Well, wait a second. How is he positive for this if you never gave it to him?" And he says, "We're going to try to figure this out." Well, finally,
this isn't something in the hay, right? Like, I really love having you on, Dick Girardi, because like I've already learned more in the last 90 seconds than I think I've learned at any point in this the last eight hours.
One of the many distractions that happened, Baffert did himself a bit of a disservice. Look, I like Bob. You like Bob. I had him on a radio show up here in Philly last Saturday. He was great. But I think he just overexposed himself. He was out there too much. He was saying too many different things. And to your point about the hay, he was mentioning in relation to some other horse that had tested positive for something in his way past. It had nothing to do with Medina Spirit, but people hooked it up that way.
Well, anyway. I mean, the cancel culture, Fox News talk, Trump talking points probably didn't help him out with people like me.
That 100% did not help him. It's not cancel culture. It's a positive
test. He's that far whacked out that he has to go to putting himself on the Trump side of this thing.
Yeah, just
that was weak. And if I see him or have him on,
you'll tell him.
It's going to get brought up. And I don't think he doesn't seem like a guy that has any problem with that sort of thing. But I like Bob a lot. And I don't want Bob to be a cheater, but Dick, I went through this early on in the week with Luke, who's not a horse racing guy at all, but I'm like, for popular culture, for people that don't know Bob, like Bob or whatever, and everybody likes Bob because it's an industry where he wins. He's the good looking guy. He's been around forever. Yep. He's got some personality, all of that, right? I started with, could OJ be a murderer? Could the Astros cheat? Could Lance Armstrong cheat with such a pretty girlfriend? You know, Bill Belichick, I mean, he's the smartest guy in the room. Why would he have to cheat? And then I go back to baseball, and I know you would appreciate this because you're a sports writer. Tom Boswell was treated like trash in Major League Baseball for writing the truth about all these guys needling up in stalls. Canseco's written about it and all this, but none of them could be, you know, Speaky, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire. They were all innocent as guilty. And then even afterward, the court of public opinion even sort of gives them some sway because of their celebrity or their good lookingness or their Heisman Trophy or whatever it is. The Baffert thing's interesting to me because you'd say, well, he doesn't need to cheat. He's got $30 million. Why does he care whether this horse wins? Why does he need to win another one? He's won them all. And I think to myself, that's probably the first thing that probably should concern and alarm all of us, because the cheating in society is prevalent. The people that don't get caught, it's prevalent. But in horse racing specifically, the genesis of this whole thing is the mobs fixing horses 100 years ago, right? And they've been working so hard to not have that be part of this.
Yeah, look, it's a problem for the game. There's no question, because there's a perception of what goes on. It's not close to the reality. Are there a number of cheaters in horse racing? Absolutely. There are people's horses who do things that horses should not be able to do. That is a fact. And the people, the vast majority of people want them out, just like in baseball or whatever other sport it was. You don't want.
What is that? What is cheating? Like, give me.
Well, cheating is giving an illegal performance enhancing drug that can't be detected. Yeah, that can't be detected.
No, I think this all the time. I mean, I brought this up all week.
Right.
The East German chicks growing beards,
sure,
Dick.
Of
right.
Course.
I mean, in baseball, it wasn't whether they were all juicing and steroided up. It was, you can't catch them because you can't test them.
Right.
And then once you start that journey to this, you get foreheads that look like Barry Bonds, because he didn't need to cheat either. He was going to the Hall of Fame before
Correct.
All of this.
That's right.
And with gambling, Dick, and you're the gambling guy in Jersey and across the Jersey state line, and we got apps and all of this stuff. Sports really should be careful. And, you know, and I'm saying that as a guy that I'm sort of burning the tent behind me with sports, because like I can't believe in it anymore. How the hell can you gamble on it when there's cheaters staying a step ahead of the curve? And I've never really thought about juicing a horse and like the A-Rod of horses and what you would do to be undetected. But I guess that game's going on. There's enough money at stake, right?
Yeah, there is enough money at stake, and there is an incentive for people to cheat, and people have cheated. You know, there were significant indictments that had not come to trial yet last February of 2020 over two major trainers in the sport. So here's the problem, Nestor. Regardless of what the reality is, because of all that's happened in the last, quarter century with athletes, and you mentioned them denying it and turned out to be true. Nobody believes anything anymore.
How many people got fired because of Lance Armstrong?
Oh my God, it's crazy. And you know, and he's still out there trying to spin the whole thing. It's crazy. So unfortunately for Bob, his problem is that because he's come after all these other people, people just naturally assume that he's lying. So I'll just try to put some perspective on this particular drug, betamethasone. It's not something, again, that you would use as a performance enhancer, but the public perceives it that way because they just see Derby winner drug test.
You know what's crazy though, dude? When you tell me, like, when I got one cortisone shot in my life, you know, I got it over at Union Memorial where they do not sponsor me. I want to make it clear. MedStar Health does not sponsor me and I would never go back there. But I would say this, getting shot up, the day after I got shot up, I thought I could run a marathon. Yeah. I thought I was fixed. And then 4 months later, I needed a knife because I wasn't fixed. I had a flap, chondromalacia. It's a knee thing. Like, that was 15 years ago. That's me. It enhanced my performance instantly the next day that I could do and feel things that I couldn't before. So to me, that in a human, it's performance enhancing. It allowed me to perform. It allowed me to get out of bed.
I think that's a fair statement, and which is among the reasons they don't want this in a horse's system on race day, or have such a small amount that they don't think it potentially affects performance. Now, I'm not in any way going to tell you I can say for sure it affected this horse's Derby performance, that he had this drug in his system. I don't know this. I'm not even sure the best vets in the world know that for sure, but I just want to put it in some perspective. This isn't like a class one drugs are the worst, most likely to be a performance enhancer. This was what's known in the sport as a class four drug, and there's one through five, one being the most likely to enhance performance, five being the least likely. So just, again, to put it in perspective, and what's really weird here, Nestor, if you were trying to do something to affect the race, this is not a drug you would give because it's so easily detectable.
You get popped for this. This is
absolutely too easy. Any trainer knows it. In fact, Baffert had the exact problem 9 months before with his terrific filly, Gamine, who finished third in the Kentucky Oaks. She came back with a positive for betamethasone. Baffert was able to get what's known as a split sample, which is what he's doing in this case. It also came back positive. And then he said, look, here's what we did. We gave this to her 18 days before the race. It's right in our vet records. They thought it would clear out of her system because basically in Kentucky, they're saying, do it 14 days before and you'll be okay. Well, in this case, it wasn't. So he took his medicine. He got the fine. And that's all it is. For a first time offense, it's a fine. Second offense is a fine and a 15-day suspension, which is probably what he'll get here. But he admitted that, yes, we had given this to Gamine. This time he says we didn't give it at all. So then there was the confusion, and then it came out a couple of days after this all started. He's now saying that it was an ointment that they were giving the horse. Now, this is where it really gets curious. They were giving the horse for a skin rash. All right, that's fine. You give it an ointment. Well, right on the ointment, one of the properties is betamethasone. Did the vet not know that? Did the people that work for him did not know that? Did Bob not know that? It's right on the label, Nestor. You can go on Google and type in this. It begins with an O. I can't remember the name of it. But you type it in, and it'll show you the label. And you're going, wait a second. What the hell are they doing? So somebody either is not telling the truth or made one of the colossal mistakes in history, which is going to cost this horse a Kentucky Derby win eventually.
Dick Girardi is here. Dick has been my friend a long, long time, since 1984, a Baltimorean who jets in here and gets himself some crab cakes and some Preakness here this weekend. Tell me about Lasix, because I used to sit out at the track with guys like you and Clem and, you know, Vinny Perrone. And I mean, it was always the big L in there and whatever. Run me through some horse racing drugs and what do they put in these animals?
Right. So Lasix is an anti-bleeding medication. It's a diuretic. Now, interestingly enough, Nestor, none of these horses ran on Lasix in the Derby because there's a new rule this year because they're trying to clean the sport up. No horses in graded stakes races can run on Lasix. And little by little, they're trying to phase it out for all races over time. Like, two-year-olds aren't going to be allowed to race. So each year, there'll be fewer and fewer horses on it. The problem with it is there are some people, and again, I'm far from an expert on this, that think it masks, Lasix potentially masks other more heinous drugs. Nobody's against an anti-bleeder medication. Who wants a horse to bleed? Nobody wants that. But is there something else going on? So little by little, it's getting phased out. There's butazolidin, which is a painkiller, which is generally legal. The vast majority of drugs obviously are not legal to be in a horse's system on race day. And they actually have, it's an interesting thing, you could go on the Association of Racing Commissions International, Racing Commissioners International, ARCI. You can go on their website and it literally shows you every drug, what the penalties are for that drug. And then there's thousands of them. It seems like it's crazy. But it's a pharmaceutical world we're living in. Let's deal in reality. Animals are no different.
Dick Girardi is my man. He's covering they're actually going to run this race, right? Like that there's horses in the race. There's
a post
position. Give me where you are on why this horse is in the race. Baffert's here. Cause my feeling, and we laughed about it, right? But I did an interview with him last week. I had to stop running it. Then I'm like, okay, maybe, whatever. And now I'm like, well, the horse is still in the race. Everything's still relevant other than the horse got popped, but they let the horse in the race. Give me how this horse is in the race. And then handicap the race a little bit, because this is always the better race than the Derby race, right? The Derby race is always a mess and too many horses. This is more of a serious race, and the rested horses come in and try to knock off the Derby winner. That's what's made this race, from your perspective, not the hype or any of that stuff, or even the Triple Crown coverage. It's usually a pretty good race to handicap.
Yeah, there's no question. It's the first shot you get at the Derby winner every year, so that's what makes the Preakness the Preakness. So what the Stronach Group and Craig Fravel, who runs it, the racing side of it, had to make a decision. What are we going to do? Are we going to honor this ban that Churchill Downs has put on Baffert, or are we going to say, wait a second, here's the process, all right? The Kentucky Racing Commission has not even announced a positive yet. The only person to announce a positive is Baffert. So the procedures haven't even started. The process is they announce a positive, then they won't actually announce it until they get the results of the split sample back, which will take several weeks. Baffert and his owners get another shot at this. They keep some of the blood in the urine, and so they'll test that. When that happens, they will then announce, hey, we have a positive. Then they will hold a hearing, and then they'll determine what they're going to do. Well, can you say, all right, you can't run in the Preakness before any of those procedures happen? I don't think you want to anybody. You want to give them due process. And that's the due process in this sport. And I think that's where the Stronach Group and Craig Fravel eventually fell. And I think it was the right call to let the horse run.
All right, let's handicap this thing. Let's go. Yep. What do we got? And tell me how that horse won, other than at 12-1 and pulling away, and Velasquez said, I didn't know he had this in him, and then he pops a, that's how a guy like me sees it and feels it from a media standpoint.
Yeah, no, I think the vast majority of people are going to say, well, he didn't figure to win, but he won, and now he's got an illegal drug in his system. That must be why he won. I get it. I mean, I understand. That's a perception. It might even be reality. I'm just not in a position to say that. So it wasn't like he wasn't a contender, Nestor. I mean, he was 12-1 on a 19-horse field. He wasn't Giacomo. He wasn't 50-1. He wasn't no hope here. I mean, every race he'd run in, he'd finish first or second. And two of his seconds were to a tremendous horse, actually the best 3-year-old in Baffert's barn, Life Is Good, who got hurt at an ankle surgery and didn't make the Derby. So it wasn't like he had no chance. And then Baffert, one of the many things he does better than his contemporaries, he's a tremendous race strategist. And one of the things about the Derby, and in fact, when I texted him congratulations, he said, look, we train them to run as fast as they can early, like a lion is chasing them, right? That takes the whole 19, 20 horse field out of the equation. If you notice, almost all his horses are in the top two or three after a quarter mile. So they take all the traffic out of it. Well, this particular horse was good enough and lucky enough that he cleared the field early. And being in front is always when horses run their best race. And he was fortunate in that two of his major opponents, one of whom will run against him Saturday, completely missed the start of the race and weren't out there battling with him at the beginning. Instead, Johnny V's out there alone. And every time somebody challenged the horse had another gear. That is not shocking, because when this horse has won, that's exactly how he's won his races.
Dick Trotty is here. We usually talk college basketball, and we are Penn State. Sometimes we get a little racing in. I'm a, last thing for you, because it is a busy week for you. Yes, crab sir. Cakes, dude. I always hit you on the cheesesteak thing coming up there. You know I'm doing the crab cake tour, starting at Fadley's. We're going to Costas. I'm wearing my Costas shirt. So we'll have all of that next week. And then on a weekly basis. But for you, you have a place that I have never been. So I want to hear about this. And it's not like Baltimore either, right?
It is not. Yeah, I've, one of my rules is on my way to Baltimore, wherever I'm heading south on 95, I must stop in Northeast Maryland and go to Woody's. It has great crab cakes. It's a great place right in the center of town in Northeast. So I could not, it's as good a crab cake as I've ever had. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's very easy. It's like 5 minutes off the exit on 95. Easy ride, just straight across Route 40, and then you're right to Woody's. And of course, in Maryland, when I'm there, my crab cakes, I go see the Bielski brothers at Ocean Pride in Towson. You know, I've known those Bielski brothers forever. So yeah, I always try to stop and see
I know the Bielski brothers. I mean, they're always around Towson University.
Absolutely.
The flagship all those years. So.
No question.
Well, I appreciate you bringing up the Bielski brothers, because I'm going to add that one to the list, because for some reason that wasn't on my list. I haven't thought so much about the Beltway as much as I'm thinking about this 30-30 tour that I'm doing, you know, in August, where I'm really like looking at places like in Calvert County and trying to figure out who's going to go where. There's so many places in the state I've never been. Like, I've never been to Deep Creek Lake. I've never been to Rocky Gap. I've never been to Chrisfield. Have you ever had Smith Island cake in Smith Island?
I haven't. I did have crabs one time at St. Michael's, which was very cool.
Very nice. I did that with Billick on this outdoor crab claw place or whatever. So I'm trying to find new places. I'm going to go out and experience the world. I'm going to the White Marlin Open. Is that in Ocean City? So it's a great state, Maryland. Too bad you left it.
I know. Maybe I'll be back. Well, I'll be back this weekend for sure.
Be back this weekend. But please bring your tax dollars. We need it in the city. Anything you want to say on the history of the future of the race?
I think the race is fine. I think it's locked in. I think hopefully that thing will happen, and the new Pimlico will be there and be there forever.
I love it when you talk like that. Dick Girardi joining us here, former longtime Philadelphia Daily News. He's sort of retired, but sort of not, and sort of does Penn State games, and he's always been my friend, and we're going to get a crab cake at Woody's. When I do it, I'll do it with you, all right?
Sounds like a plan, buddy.
There he goes, Dick Girardi educating us. What's what we do here? Intelligent conversation. We call them wise conversations now. Brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. I want to remind everybody, it's grilling season. I had Tim on the show here this week. Seafood, lobster, steak, those tomahawk chops. Get out there to Wise. Make sure you're supporting them. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking to guys from Rogers Forge about the Preakness at Baltimore Positive.